On this week's episode of Six Stars Only, we're going to be talking about the popular YouTube channel Red Letter Media, why we like it so much, and why it's so addicting and successful at attracting viewers and subscribers. And we're also going to talk about how we can apply some of the stuff they do to our own videos. Stick around, guys. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Six Stars Only. This is the podcast where me and my best friend Matt, how's it going, Matt?
Oh, dude, I'm having a blessed, beautiful day with my little dog here on my lap who keeps biting my hands. How are you?
I'm good, man. But yeah, like I was saying, this is the podcast where we as video creators just kind of put out there for you guys what we're learning, learning in public about how to get better at making our own content.
Yeah, going from like wannabe creators to actually putting stuff out there, seeing results, and growing your channel and making fulfilling work like you've always wanted to do.
Exactly. Making stuff that does not suck.
I like that.
That's kind of the main goal. But one of the main ways to get better at content creation, especially because video is obviously it's a visual medium, is to watch and learn from people that do it really well. And so this is kind of the first segment in a series that we're hoping to start on this podcast. This is a channel teardown of Red Letter Media.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Fancy. And for those of you that don't know who Red Letter Media is, they are a super hyper successful YouTube channel slash production company, which I didn't know. And I'll go into that with the whole history of it. But they have a few stats for you guys, about 800,000 subscribers. So they're not PewDiePie level, like mega, like you know, the amount of subscribers is the same as like some continents. But obviously super successful. And they're a movie review channel at the heart. They do video essays, but they're awesome. And let me just say, I like a lot of content creators on YouTube. But there's very few that I would consider myself a fan of. And my version of what a fan is that I would be willing to pay money for either merchandise or to see them in person. So if Mike Stiklaus and Jay and the folks from Red Letter Media came to Tulsa, Oklahoma City, or even Dallas, I would drive up to meet them. I love their videos that much. And I'm a cheapskate, so I don't like spending money on anything. I would buy. I need to buy some T-shirts. We're not sponsored by Red Letter Media, by the way. Although Mike, if you're watching this, sponsor us or come on the show. We didn't have an interview with them, but I love them. Matt, what is your view of Red Letter Media? Your thoughts? Are you a fan?
Yeah, I remember the first time I encountered Red Letter Media was back in high school. I think like my freshman or sophomore year during study hall, and I discovered the episode one, like 7-part review. There's like a 70-minute review of Star Wars episode one that just tears it apart, like aspect by aspect, like from the technical, like from the plot to the characters, to the production, to just everything wrong with it. And it does it in a super humorous way. And in a way that's also like eerily accurate and is just very off the wall and weird. And it's like nothing I'd ever seen before. So I showed all my friends. I was running around with the iPad, just like playing this for people. I probably watched it like 2 or 3 times. I think it's to this day their most successful video, but I remember that I kind of fell out of, I didn't follow them super closely over the years. And then I've kind of rediscovered them, because I discovered you were a fan. And they started doing some newer segments and different things. And so we'll kind of talk about how they were able to kind of find that smash hit and find their voice, and sort of create new and different types of content that capitalize on what they're really good and different at. And so I think that'll be good to talk about. I'm excited to chat about that.
And what's interesting is that you mentioned the 7-part Phantom Menace, which... Please watch it on. If there's
it's
any
the
video
classic,
of Red Letter Media,
it's like the godfather of YouTube videos.
It is
in Wisconsin.
So good. But yeah, Matt, was that you when we were roommates? I don't remember how many years ago you mentioned, oh yeah, there's this really funny. So the subject of the Phantom Menace came up about how.
As it does, you
awful.
Know, in normal, yeah, non-nerdy yeah, conversations that cool people have often.
Yeah. So I had no idea what Red Letter Media was, and so Matt like made me watch it, and I was like, I don't know if it's, there's always kind of a risk when someone like tells you, oh, there's this awesome hilarious video, there's not really a happy medium. It's either you find it incredibly awesome and hilarious, or it's just a total miss where you're kind of like, haha, like, I loved it. So I was like, okay, I'll watch it.
Not to mention, it's bad enough when it's a 70-second video that bombs, but how about 70 minutes?
Yeah,
like a seven-part series. It's like that's a 70-minute bomb. Well, I mean, that is episode one, but...
But yeah, so I watched it. I was hooked immediately, and that kind of ties us into... the history. So I'm going to lay out just kind of the history of how Red Letter Media kind of just started.
I'm actually really curious to hear about this because I know basically nothing about this. So educate me, Sensei Arndt.
So with my thorough research, which I did mostly on Reddit, their own website, and Wikipedia. I mean, Wikipedia is a good source. So guys, I worked really hard on this. So this is as good as I can do. But
give me the deets.
So Red Letter Media was founded actually in Arizona. It's a Wisconsin base now, which is personal to me because my dad's from Wisconsin. And I recognize the beer that they drank in one of the episodes. Don't know what that says about me, but there you go. But Mike Staclaza and Jay Bauman, and they were actually employees of production companies, which I didn't know. I just thought these were dudes that liked movies and they just talked about it. But no, they have an actual production background, which I think lends to the quality, but it's founded in 2004, so a long time ago, and they've made some short films and whatnot, but they first got attention through a Mr. Plinkett review, which is a character which I'll get into, with the Phantom Menace review in 2009, so that was a long time ago. It seems simultaneously a long time ago and not a long time ago. I feel old thinking that 2009 is like... almost a decade. That's
more than
a decade. Yeah, but that was their first smash hit. Actually, let me bring it up. I
think it has over 8 million views.
8 million.
I think
views.
I checked it before. I could be wrong, but as of the time of this recording, I think it's somewhere hovering around 8.1 million.
Yeah, it is super duper successful. I think it's still to this day their most viewed video. And it's again a 7-part series, which really just kind of blew the doors off. And I was looking it up that I believe Patton Oswalt and like famous people watched it and had become fans. So like they're big time to where, they just burst onto the scene. And, that was the main. So that was a Mr. Plinkett. So if you don't know what Mr. Plinkett, that's kind of a character that Mike Staclaza made. And the video format is a video essay, which sounds like the most stale, kind of boring thing. But essentially, and I'm sure that you've seen these kind of videos, which it just takes the footage from, the actual movie, The Phantom Menace, and intercuts his own kind of footage and, with meta humor and everything. And you mentioned earlier, Matt, about one of the reasons why it's that video is so good, and this applies to pretty much all of their other content, is that it's hilarious and a kind of dark, sarcastic
kind
meta
of
way.
It's incredibly dark. It's like he shows you like these, obviously it's on like a set or they like use their own basement or whatever, but he's going down like a basement and like it's all like the most shady, cliche, creepy old man who like lives on his couch and eats pizza rolls and may or may not have like relatives living in his basement, just like the weirdest stuff, and a very dark sense of humor.
Yeah, but it's not just a joke a minute. Which I mean, there is. It's really funny, but there's valid, relevant criticisms that he brings up and good points that I never realized. Because I'm not a look. If you're listening or watching this and you like The Phantom Menace, go for it. I think it's awful. I'm not a huge fan of the prequel movies, but I wasn't necessarily sure why I disliked them so much or why they did not work as films, but the Mr. Plinkett reviews kind of made me realize, oh yeah, this is where this movie doesn't make sense and like where it doesn't fall short. So it has value and that it's entertaining, but it also brings up points of concern and, oh yeah, here's how good movies usually are made and here's how The Phantom Menace is made. So it incorporates kind of film theory and storytelling as well as just being a hilarious YouTube video. And that's what instantly hooked me because, and here's something else I'm going to go to is why Red Letter Media is so successful and why they do so well when they are in a saturated kind of market on YouTube, because just type in solo, for instance, type in solo just on like the search bar and YouTube, and there's so many movie review channels. There's no shortage of it, but Red Letter Media consistently is at the top of the pack.
So what do they do differently than, say, your average Joe Schmo movie review channel down the street? Then let's keep going with their history, because I want to hear more of this. But I do want to hit on this, because I think it's important.
I think it's important to hit it first.
Tell me what you see, and then I'll tell you what I see.
So, I mean, I could talk about this all day, but I mentioned earlier, Mr. Plinkett, they have different... So, at its core, obviously, it's a movie review channel, and it seems like kind of like a... almost like a box, and there's only so many things you can do, but they take interesting kind of formats, which different series of videos. So there's Mr. Plinkett Reviews. He's done it over, I guess not all the Star Wars, the original Star Wars, Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, kind of easy targets, movies that are considered bad and, you know, like low hanging fruit type of movies where he just dissects them, makes fun of them. So that's like it's, you know, and Mr. Plinkett has become a character that, you know, fans like. He showed up in some of the other series of videos. So that is big in itself. Then there's a series of videos called Half in the Bag. Now, Half in the Bag is, it's a movie review segment, but it's not with Mike in character as Mr. Plinkett. It's just him, Jay Bauman, Rich Evans. I almost said Rich Eisen, the NFL announcer. Rich Evans, who is awesome. He's like the mascot of, and like, you know, someone else, like some other guest. So it's usually three to four people just talking about movies that are in theaters. So this is kind of how they tie into what's trending in theaters now. So they do over Solo, do it over pretty much what is in theaters.
Like new releases, and they're usually kind of in a set now. Is that kind of what I'm seeing?
Yeah. So, and this is something else. Like it's a series of reviews, but Jay and Mike are characters, so they're VCR repairmen. So like, there's like this underlying theme before all other reviews. So the set for a long time, like they were just in a Mr. Plinkett. There he goes. So they're Mr. Plinkett's garage trying to repair his VCR. So it ties in kind of the story and like, you know, like these inside jokes and everything, where they just are on like a well-lit, well-produced set, and there's just four guys talking about a movie. Now, what makes it different is because all of them are really funny and they have, you know, like the jokes and everything, but they all have, again, valid criticisms and valid points to make about the film. So you learn a lot. They disagree a lot too. Which is something that I think is really important, because a trend I see a lot of times on, especially there's so many movie review channels where it's usually just one dude or someone. But when there's guests, I don't know, it's just people are either too hypercritical or they're too forgiving. And there's so many channels just kind of like, you know, they only nitpick. They're very nitpicky. And Red Letter Media can be that way, but I think just the format of having four different people on Half in the Bag, it just lends to some of them like the movies. Like sometimes Mike likes a movie that like you wouldn't think he would, and he explains why, and then, you know, Jay doesn't, and so like, they kind of argue. It's a more balanced approach to movie reviews than like what you're normally accustomed to seeing on YouTube, at least in my case. And Best of the Worst, they have actually a lot of different series of videos. Best of the Worst is where they just take B movies, a lot of times sent in from fans. So this is how they interact with their fan base, and basically just watch it. The format is they intercut them watching the video. So it's almost like a reaction video of them watching the horrible movie, and, you know, with scenes of the video. And at the end, they all sit around a set again. I think they're in like a huge garage. I don't know where their sets. I should have done more research on it. And they talk about, they decompress. Okay, why did it work? Why didn't it work and everything?
You showed me that segment too. I really enjoy those as well. That one was really great because it kind of brought in other people so that you have like multiple voices. It was a very different style than the video essays, but you can see how sort of the same criticism and things kind of evolved into this different segment. And I think that that's actually most of their videos now, right? Are like Half in the Bag and Best of the Worst.
Those are normally what Yeah, like they release those maybe not a few times, once or twice a week, and those are the ones that they most often upload. Which again, I love. I love Best of the Worst. Probably that's become my favorite segment. Because again, you learn a lot. And there's another segment called Review, which I think is newer, where it's usually Mike and Jay, Mike and Rich, or you know, whoever, they intermingle, you know, like with the cast, which is something else that's really interesting. They're all very good on camera, but they're all just unique individuals. So it's almost like as if it were a TV show, which is weird to think about because these are real humans. But when you see them, and this is kind of where I get in like creepy territory, I think one of the reasons why I like Red Letter Media so much is because I value their opinions, but it's almost like watching movies with friends. So like if Matt watches a movie, I'm really anxious to see like, hey, like what do you think about Deadpool 2 or something, like, because I like Matt, he's my good friend, and I'm anxious to hear what he has to say about a movie. So each week...
And there's also this thing of like, there's a difference between like seeing a movie in a theater and seeing a movie by yourself and seeing a movie with like some of your close friends. Cause especially when it's like or when it's like a terrible movie with your close friends, you're not like, you know, on the edge of your seats watching this seriously, but you can make jokes and talk over it and it's not a big deal. I mean, just have like a good time, and like half of the experience, or even maybe most of the fun of the experience, is actually experiencing it with those people, getting their perspective. And especially if you're with funny, clever people, like when I see a movie with you, I know we're going to have like inside jokes and just ridiculous stuff that most people wouldn't find funny, but that's okay because like we would like get really into it and we'd have a great time. And it kind of feels like you have this like starter pack of like really movie friendly friends, you know, who have this weird dark sense of humor, this very deep sense of what works in a movie and what doesn't, and this like background of film criticism and film history. And so I think it attracts a lot of people who are like that and maybe don't get to watch, you know, don't have a group of, you know, four people to drink Wisconsin beer with and sit in their basement and have those inside jokes with. It's kind of a way for them to get that same experience without having that group of friends.
I mean, I totally agree 100%. And I think that's one of the interesting things about like what YouTube does. Which I mentioned, like they're really the only content creators that I would consider like I'm a fan of, to where I would like purchase anything. But I do like other content creators. For instance, there's German995, which I'm kind of like, you know, I'm going on a tangent, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not really a huge gamer. I don't play video games. But I just, it's almost like playing a video game with a friend, like you mentioned. So it's like watching a movie, in Red Letter Media's case, with some friends, and like, you know, kind of like their tics and like, you know, like their personal taste. Mike loves schlocky bad movies. Like, he likes movies that you would think, oh, like a movie reviewer likes this obviously bad movie. So the newest Independence Day, it came out a few years ago. Like, I don't even know what it was. Awful. Like, it had like 20%, but Mike Staclaza and everyone else, like the other people were asking, why do you like this movie so much? Like, why is it not good? He's like, I just love bad movies. And it's such an interesting take, you know, just like, but it's a collection of individuals with different personalities, very strong voices that give their own perspectives in a way that I would have never thought of. It was just my own. Or if it's just a channel with one guy that, you know, dominates, to where he says, okay, you know, these movies are dumb, these movies are always dumb. But with Red Letter Media, there's a mix of, you know, like Mike, again, he likes Star Trek, for instance. The other guys think it's kind of lame how he's such a nerd about it. And like, it just kind of, they poke fun. There's inside jokes. It's just, the format is so light and sarcastic yet informative, and that's just like the main takeaway I get from Red Letter Media, which I'm such a huge fan of.
And I'd kind of boil that down to like, be likable, and not necessarily that everyone has to like you, because I believe that really strong content will attract the right kind of people that are your true fans and repel people who would not be interested. So if you're not into like, you know, dark humor, nerdy movie stuff, or just like terrible, you know, like you know, really schlocky films or whatever you're saying, like you're going to be repelled by this channel. But if you're into that, like the fans they have, they're not the biggest YouTube channel, but their fans are pretty committed because it is right up their alley, and it is, you know, it feels like it's their group. So I think kind of that, like, that's kind of a takeaway that we can sort of take and apply to our own stuff is just like, be likable and don't be afraid to embrace that voice, even if it's going to not necessarily be mainstream or even agree with like the other people that you're doing the channel with, you know, that diversity and those different views can actually make you a lot stronger.
And that kind of brings me into another point of why they're so successful. And I'm going to tie this into a story. So yesterday, I'm not going to name names or really go into like way in depth, but I was on a film shoot for a company because I do freelance video work on the side. And ironically, with last week's episode, or, you know, I guess a few weeks ago, about what not to do when mistakes while filming, everything happened. It was a total mess. The lighting was bad. Everything just turned out awful. And it made me appreciate week in and week out, Red Letter Media is really well produced.
In a kind of an effortless, non-showy way. It doesn't feel like they're in some big studio, but the audio is always on point. The lighting, everyone is always well lit, even when you have lots of subjects, which takes some getting used to. And even their sets, I wanted to talk about this actually. I was going to bring it up later, but there's no time like the present. You start out with kind of like these, you know, things where you have no set. It's just the footage and you're doing a video essay. Then you get into some things where you're doing kind of some set, but there are things with half in the bag and best of the worst, you know, like best of the worst, they're just kind of in their basement, but even then you can still see everyone and make it out and it's pretty good. And they're overlaying lots of clips of the film. But when, you know, they do all these fun things and like these sort of homemade props that they've done, like the Plinketto board trying to pick a movie. So it's basically just this giant, you know, boy, what's it modeled after? What's the name of that game?
Oh, and The Price is Right?
Something like that. I don't know, but it's basically like this big thing where like it'll fall down all these pegs and it'll like end up like falling in the bucket for a movie, and that's how they pick the movie. But it's fun things like that where it's sort of homemade, it's unique to them, it's novel, and it feels very them. It's kind of a fun thing that you're not expecting, but that you're going to look forward to in the future because no one else is building like these 8-foot tall wooden, you know, game show type things to pick bad movies. It's just not something that other people do. But if they would have started out with that, I don't think I would have been attracted to it. But because they got me in the door with that main video, those video essays, it kind of like got me hooked on their sense of humor. I grew to like them. And it's, I want to say, oh, what else do they have? Well, I like new movies. Oh, they do like hot takes on new movies. Oh, okay. Well, let's check it out. And then it kind of reels you in from there.
All of, I guess their series of videos kind of, it draws you in from one to the next in like a natural way, which is really important as someone on YouTube to, you know, just the playlist and everything to go from one video to, I really enjoy this one. Oh, this one looks interesting. And like you mentioned, it kind of builds. So like a video essay,
like it's such a simple, like, oh, he just talks over,
takes a lot of time.
He just
does a voiceover on footage of the Phantom Menace. Now he does so much more than that. Obviously the script he wrote must've been tremendous, well-researched, well thought out. He did his own, you know, shots of women like his basements. It sounds so demented. Just watch the video. It'll make more sense. And like with the best of the worst. So a movie review in theory doesn't really require, like you would think, okay, basically you just need a camera or whatever and some decent sound. And you just chill out like in your couch or something and talk about the movie, whether you liked it or not, like some problems you have with it. But they don't just, you know, they still have awesome production value and they spend obviously a lot of time to make it look awesome to where they won't necessarily have to do, like they go the extra mile to make it look good, to make the lighting perfect, which is something again from my shoot yesterday when the lighting is not good.
Okay, tell us about the bad lighting, because clearly this is like getting your goat right now.
So
do you need to have a little like bad lighting rant? Is it one of those kind of Fridays?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still just salty about it. So
it's okay, I'm here for you. Lay it on me. What did the bad lights do to you, Jake?
So just the shoot wasn't planned. So I have some of my own equipment, but I don't have like a crap ton. So I have a mic. I have my.
And where was this whole situation? Was it like a client?
Yeah, it was
or something,
a client.
Or
so it was in Oklahoma City. For like a forensics company, and I was being contracted by like a communications company. It was kind of weird. Like, it wasn't like advertised very well, but I was contracted out by them to help make a video for this company. So I asked him the night before, hey, what equipment do you have? Do you have a good mic? Like is this, cause you know, you need to plan ahead.
Define good.
Yeah. Well, he had a few kind of not working lapel mics. And if you don't know what that is, you just kind of clip on your shirt. They weren't working well. And they had like a Rode kind of shotgun mic that, and I talked with Matt about this yesterday.
They're usually pretty good.
Yeah, they're usually pretty good, but you have the option to kind of screw it on top of your camera, but to really have it be good, you use it on a boom mic. So you have to put it next to the person's face.
It's got to be like right out of frame.
I'm slapping my laptop. I'm so angry.
Yeah.
But so it just wasn't planned out well. It's kind of spur of the moment. There was no script or anything, no flow. Like, what do you guys want? Oh, you know, we kind of want a walkthrough of the office and do other stuff.
Oh, no. So they were like planning it like on the fly as you were there.
It was just all bad.
Disaster.
And they wanted a green screen. So be like, we put up this green screen, but we didn't have the lights necessary to illuminate the green screen. We only had two lights. We didn't have the three light setup. We didn't have a key light, backlight. I'm getting angry now just thinking about it. And which is poorly lit. I even kind of messed around today. But the chroma key to, you know, put the background in, because it wasn't evenly lit, it makes the green screen look bad. So the graphic looks like garbage. And it was just everything about it made me just appreciate what good content creation looks like. People that plan, you think there's not much work involved in a, you know, like a movie review show. Like, okay, best of the worst, they're just chilling out in their basement talking. Like, no. Like, they must have, it's a set. It's well lit.
It's one of those things where you don't notice when everything goes right, but you really notice when things go wrong.
That's 100%
It's one of those
true.
Things where you never notice that things are wrong. It's never distracting. Going back to the Red Letter Media stuff, if it were kind of, you know, half baked, you would notice. But because it isn't, it allows
it's seamless
the snark and the wit and the other stuff to really shine through.
Yeah, when it's done well, it allows the content, like the humor and everything you said, to shine through, as opposed to the like my case yesterday, the obvious amateur looking level. Because there is a lot of successful channels on YouTube that don't necessarily have high production value. Like, so they bring something else to the table that makes them successful. Vloggers do this a lot. I think Boogie985, whatever his number after his name is, he's a pretty famous YouTuber. But he has a lot of vlogs, which just, you know, he has a mic like this and he just records in his laptop. And people like him, like, you know, go for it. But when you do something like Red Letter Media, like you said, I just can't, like, that was such an awesome point. It's like referees in like a sporting game. I sound like such a nerd. In a sport, you know, when refs do their job correctly, you don't think about them. But when a ref makes a bad call or does something like bad,
everybody knows.
They're front and center, and that's never good. So that's another takeaway from Red Letter Media that, like, I need to apply in the future, even though it wasn't my fault 100%. Actually, none of it was my fault for the shoot going wrong yesterday. Some of it maybe was, I don't know. But it just, the whole planning thing was bad. But I guess the main takeaway is, regardless of what your content is, so let's say you want to make a video about gardening or something. I don't know, just take time to make the production of it shine and to make it as high quality as possible. And to make it as high quality as possible, it will take time and you have to do your homework to write the script for it. Please, please plan ahead for it, because that's what makes good content, and good content is what makes channels successful, because people notice that. Their fans notice it. It's kind of like with our podcast. So our podcast is about content creation, and when we don't have good audio levels or something looks out of place, our fans call it out and say, hey, why do you sound
immediately
so awful? Yeah. So
literally the next day or within hours, often. Sometimes, like, an example of that is like for one of our videos for like episode 7, I think. You can go check it out on YouTube, but we thought, like, you know, are that many people actually noticing this and watching the video all the way through? It's a podcast, and can we just upload it as is and not change the audio and have half of it be Skype audio. So we tried that. We're like, yeah, let's see. Let's do it and see what people say. So we did it. And immediately the next day, someone like said, hey, watch the YouTube video of your last episode. It was great. But, you know, Jake sounded good, but you sounded like you were straight out of Skype. You know,
and he was.
Your audio was really bad. Yeah. And it was like, well, that's because it was like it was bad audio. And so we've learned our lesson. And the next episode, we went back to much better audio. And it's something that we don't have like cracked or anything. You know, we haven't cracked the code to perfectly doing the video. There's a lot of stuff we could do to make it better. But it is one of those things where it's like, okay, yes, people care. Yes, it matters. And, you know, those 20 minutes or whatever to make it really better are going to pay off for the right type of people in your audience. Because it's not just about the numbers. It's about the type of people that you want to attract and your ideal fans as well.
We mentioned earlier how they kind of, they pivot and like they've evolved from video essays to kind of increasing just the production value of their sets. It's getting, you know, the big, the giant wall, like, you know, like the, was it Plinketto board and everything. They've just kind of built and built and built off of, you know, their success. Because obviously they weren't, you know, they were just starting out at one point. I didn't know who they were, you know, and they started Red Letter Media in 2004 and their first big break was in 2009. So like they had to put in the work like us. They weren't pros at it. But you mentioned with their audio, once they increased and got better at it, they don't cut corners because once you get an audience, they'll notice once you put effort into making a really good, you know, production, like really good video, and you're starting to get better and better. The lighting's better each time. The sound's better each time. You can't go backwards anymore. Like you can only make it better because as soon as our audio sounds like it's from Skype again, people are going to be like, whoa, 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 what happened? Why does Jake sound like he's, you know, like, instead of a washing machine or something, you know, why does he sound like he has paper towels up his nose, right? You know, so, which makes it tough. But when you're on your journey of learning how to make content, it's not always linear. Obviously, like you will mess up, and trust me, like I thought I had a pretty good grasp on how to do a shoot and everything, how to make it turn out well. Then yesterday happened and I was just like, oh my gosh, I had like two Big Macs and like, I like angry ate afterwards. Like it was a nightmare. But just on the journey of making videos, you have to just continue just to grind through and to make better and better stuff.
And I want to kind of talk about that a little bit because I think that's one of the big themes I kind of take away from Red Letter Media's success as a channel is sort of how they're able to layer on these additional elements. And I like to think of it as laddering up the quality of your content. So what I mean by that is, it would be, you see some channels out there that do, you know, kind of are kind of in their main category of movie reviews. So you can say, okay, someone is, you know, critiquing this movie. They're telling you what they think. And maybe they've done a little bit of research or they've seen the movie and they're giving their hot take. Okay. That's kind of like one level. Now add on top of that, that you have done work to make some really funny points about that movie. So you've scripted out some jokes, you've made some notes, you've done some other things. That on top of the criticism is going to make it miles better than what it would be if you were just being critical or just giving your opinion. Now, put on top of that high production value, either in editing and something like a video essay or in like with your lighting, audio, other things to make it more accessible and watchable. Now add on top of that things where you're doing being novel or, you know, catching people's interest using the 6-second pattern interruption. So every 6 seconds you're showing people something new, you're changing the setting, you're adding a new thing, you're throwing up a graphic to keep people's attention longer. Now add on top of that this cast of interesting characters in this community and you feel like you're having a Wisconsin beer with your bros down in the basement or, you know, just like with this group of nerdy friends who also like to watch these movies. You know, each one of those kind of is like a step up the ladder. It's kind of stair-stepping up the quality. And on their own, you know, just one of those things is enough to carry the video, is enough to carry the channel, is enough to bring people in. But those things together, you know, as you add one ingredient, figure it out more, get feedback from your audience, add one more ingredient, those things will compound over time and help accelerate the growth of your channel and also just go build deep roots with people who really appreciate and get you. Because I think now You know, they don't do a ton of Plinkett video reviews. Those are pretty far and few between. But they do a lot of Half in the Bag and Best of the Worst, which have a lot of the same elements of humor, of community, or not community. Those are kind of the new ones that they added. But of humor, of criticism, of, you know, pattern interruption, of good points that they're making in, with the history and doing it in a clever or dark humor way. You know, they're doing it in these ways, but in a format that's way more scalable, but still retains the best parts of that. And I don't think they would have figured that all out at first if they had just tried to jump to that, or they wouldn't have had people like brought in because of that one runaway video hit. And so I just think it's a good encouragement to me and a reminder that, like, hey, just because you start with one type of video doesn't mean that's the only type you're going to do. And just because you have a couple things that are working doesn't mean you can't add on that, iterate and improve and keep adding and doing new things with your video, but keeping the fans engaged with the parts of your videos that they loved.
Yeah, like just having that tone and that voice and that just that feel of what Red Letter Media is and just applying it to new kind of avenues. For instance, it's a separate channel, but it's also, it's still under the Red Letter Media, I guess, umbrella, whatever you want to call it. It's called Previously Recorded. So it's with Rich Evans. Yeah, it's, I'm being a dummy. I freaking love Rich. I don't know how I forgot his name, but Rich Evans and Jack Packard. And saying it's basically just a Half in the Bag with video games is a disservice to it, but it's Half in the Bag, but with video games, essentially. And it's awesome. So it's the same humor, but it's expanding into a different field. So it's not just movies, it's video games. And again, I mean, I love watching video game just content on YouTube. I don't hate video games, but I don't really play it a lot. So it seems kind of counterintuitive how I love it so much. I love Previously Recorded. Like it's almost like I found, like, oh my gosh, you know, like Red Letter Media. I've watched so much of their videos. I've kind of exhausted all of, you know, all I can watch for now. And I saw Previously Recorded. And I was like, what is this? Like, what is this whole thing? It's Red Letter Media, but like with video games. And it was like the most awesome thing. So I've been watching that like a madman for the past week, and they've incorporated live streams, like kind of Twitch stuff with that channel as well. So they're, like you mentioned, they're expanding in different areas to where they've got enough expertise and they've learned from the past to where they're able to do that. So like you mentioned, if they were to just jump into all these different avenues at the beginning, they would have got crushed. Like they're doing this, you know, like it's too much to do that, like at the very beginning. And I think I kind of wanted to do that early in my career too. I wanted to make videos on this, and this, different tones and stuff. And when you're starting out making content, that's just too much. It's too broad. So you need to focus on kind of like, you know, doing something really well. But like you mentioned, you can still kind of expand. Like you don't have to be boxed in. You can find those, you know, those steps you can take, and like it builds off of one another to where you can kind of expand into different routes and routes while still maintaining your voice.
Yeah, you got to get your foot in the door, and then you can land and expand into different stuff. And for, I think, Red Letter, I mean, it was that the Plinkett reviews were kind of the land, and then the expand is like Best of the Worst, Half in the Bag, and anything else that they do on top of that. And they've even monetized through like Patreon. They have merchandise. They have just commentary over tracks that you can, so you can buy like the commentary to Gremlins or things and just listen to them like watching the movie with you, kind of like you're doing a Best of the Worst viewing with them. And so it's really interesting to see how they've grown. But I wanted to talk for a little bit, Jake, what are some opportunities that you see that they could go in, or some things that you wish that they would do in the future to expand or do new things or branch out?
Man, that is a good question. Like I mentioned, the Previously Recorded, that's just kind of an untapped, I guess, just the video games in general, I guess they can go more into. Other people might disagree, because the essence of what Red Letter Media is, and I think this way still is film, you know, in film and movies. But, and I think honestly what will happen, I think maybe they'll kind of expand more into that and kind of take some of the stuff that works with Red Letter Media on the film side and apply it. You know, maybe they do like a Plinketto type board, but with a video game sent in from fans, and kind of expand on that. But yeah, I feel like I love the best of the worst kind of, you know, those series of videos. What they can do to make it better, I'm not really sure. And I think they're having this question amongst themselves about, like, what can we do next to kind of reach that next level. I think just focusing more on that. And earlier we kind of mentioned how the Plinker reviews are really few and far in between. I want to see, I just that make a return more. And I know it's tough to make good quality content like they do. This is their full-time job, right? I assume. But video essays are really hard to make. So it would be tough on Mike and just the people of Red Letter Media to make those more often. But I would.
But that's not to say that their team couldn't expand or that they could do them a different kind of video review more frequently, because we've seen with Best of the Worst and Half of the Bag that they can take some of the same humor, criticism with things that worked and adapt them into different formats. I'd love to see them do that in even maybe a more casual or condensed video essay format. Because I think a Nerdwriter does a great job, and I know they have sort of a team that helps support, I'm pretty sure. But they do like a weekly video essay, and it's always good, and it's interesting, and you appreciate his voice and all these things, you know, the way he communicates things. And I'd love to see Red Letter do something similar, even if it's not always strictly about, you know, an iconic or classic.
Yeah, definitely. Movie. And I think you mentioned earlier about almost like a weekly kind of Ebert and Roper type of, like,
yeah. So I would love to see Red Letter Media. One of the things I appreciate is, like, you know, back in the day, you know, you'd listen to like Roger Ebert and was it Siskel?
Yeah.
You'd listen. You know, you'd listen to them for video reviews. Not video reviews, movie reviews, and to see what people thought of the movie and whether you should go see it. I would totally go check out like a Red Letter Media like review. Of
yeah,
something.
Definitely.
Just to see, like, you know, a 3 out of 5 pizza rolls or whatever their review is. And I think a big part of that is, yeah, like, you kind of trust them and because you have this history with them and you've seen their movies and you trust them to give you good perspective on it. But it's also this thing of just being entertained along with it. I bought this weather app the other day called Carrot Weather. And the kind of the different thing about this weather app is it's hilarious because it'll insult you as it gives you the weather. So it'll be like, oh, good morning, meatbag. It's 91 degrees outside. And it'll just kind of like, in, you can turn up or down the intensity of the insults. It can be totally none, or it can be like terribly insulting. Or just these different things. And it's a very clever app. It's got some good design and things. But things like that, I would totally like check out Red Letter Media reviews that were for more movies or just see what they thought about things or even just kind of their brand. I like the way that they communicate about movies. I wish they did more.
Yeah, that's good. And what's interesting is, yeah, like I think they should kind of take that approach too, because they, so with Half in the Bag, they hit the popular movies, and with Review and Best of the Worst, you know, they still kind of tie into that kind of niche, like horror. So like they do a good job of hitting both the mainstream and the not so mainstream. But like you mentioned, there's a lot of videos, there's a lot of movies that I want their take on. Like I really wonder what they think about it, but they just haven't touched yet. And in a format like that, they would be able to just cover so much more ground. And they have the voice. I feel like they have the pull. I mentioned that Patton Oswalt and a lot of famous people just have said, like, they've come out on record saying, yeah, like they're really awesome. Like I love their content. I can't remember who it was. There was a video where a director of a movie or something interacted on Red Letter Media. Like some fan asked the director, I'm doing a horrible job because it's really important who the director is. It's totally blanking on me right now. But some fan on Twitter asked him what his thoughts were. And the director was like, yeah, like they're awesome. They're hilarious, but like they kind of scare me. And like the people were like, you know, Mike was saying this is kind of weird, like why would he be afraid? But it's because they have such a pull on the internet, on Reddit especially. Just their opinion matters a lot, to where they could just expand more into not just video but just like a website. Like, you know, they have a website, but just a weekly review or blog post or something, to where they put out what they think about a movie, because the only problem I really have with Red Letter Media is that they just don't make enough. Like, I just want more. I want to consume more.
Right.
And again, with video, it's tough to a certain extent to make it a lot, but also, you know, to a high standard, and they got really high quality. But if they were to find that different route, like you mentioned, like, it doesn't have to be like a 45-minute review. It can be a quick 5-minute review of, so, like, you know, whatever movies just hit theaters this week. Like, I would eat that ish up.
Yeah, totally. And even, I think there's kind of two directions I see, you know, from my armchair perspective, you know, having no inside knowledge or expert perspective on this, but just as a fan, what I think would be really neat to see is see them expand into different types of content, meaning like they're reviewing like video games, TV shows, other things, especially TV shows. Like, especially, like, I would love to see like a Plinkett review of like Game of Thrones or, you know, Mr. Robot or something. You know, that would be phenomenal. Even if it's just like key episodes or infamous episodes, like even like iconic episodes, like the ending of The Sopranos or these other things that were, you know, big deals. Like, I would totally watch the heck out of that. So you can go with new content. The other thing is just new formats. So I would totally check out like a Red Letter Media blog post. I would, you know, if they had like more like edutainment, you know, content that was on different social media platforms, I would check that out. Like a board game or something. I don't know, just different ways to interact with the stuff we already love about them. Those are kind of the two big buckets that, as a fan, I would love to engage with and see.
Definitely. I will say that they did a kind of half in the bag. I'm not really sure what the form. I'm pretty sure it was half in the bag on Stranger Things this season. But I think that's one of, if the only show they've done it over. Maybe Star Trek, because I know Stike. Wow. Mike is a huge fan of Star Trek. But I love Stranger Things so much. We'll eventually have to do a whole podcast episode on like what, you know, we like about Stranger Things. But I love their opinion. I like their content. When I saw that they were talking about Stranger Things, I was just like, I just like almost broke my laptop freaking clicking on it because I was so pumped. I want them, like you mentioned, to go into TV shows. Like, they could totally rock that. Like, they just need more stuff. They just need to make more stuff.
Yeah, even a podcast where they were just giving a more casual perspective, wouldn't have to do any of the video production, would be phenomenal over, you know, different types of content, different movies they couldn't get to. Even giving, like, a director's take that's even longer than the video. Like, you know, like 2, 3, 4 hours. I think their diehard fans would go for it, and it would be an opportunity to go deeper instead of wider.
I would love a kind of behind the scenes kind of series of video, or just a few of like how they make a half in the back episode, or like how they do this. That would fascinate. Yeah. Because, you know, they came from a production film background. They're obviously good at making videos and they talk about videos. I want to know more about, you know, like their beginnings. Like, there might be a video, maybe I just haven't seen it, but it's just,
I think they have a little bit of behind the scenes on some of their stuff, but nothing comprehensive or how to. But one thing I would definitely check out or even pay for is like a course on film criticism or like production or something from their crew. Like, I would totally pay, like, you know, 20, 30, whatever dollars, you know, to just go through a quick course on like, hey, how to create a show, how to light stuff, how to do different stuff. Just because I like them and I like the way that their shows are made, and I would totally be interested in like how they think a good show or movie or, you know, project is produced. I would totally check that out.
Yeah, definitely. Same here. So I guess we can kind of end it on, and we've already hit on this a little bit, but what do they do in their own videos that we can apply to our own content? Is there anything that, and I kind of mentioned earlier about how they approach their production level, just with lighting and everything, especially on the heels of my horrible experience on a really bad production, just really stuck with me to where I need to make sure to never skimp on a seemingly easy video So I do like my food reviews to where, you know, they're pretty easy. I just do voiceover and graphics and everything, and I just film with my phone, and that can suffice. But I want to incorporate more segments of filming something with a good camera, with good lighting. I want to just up my production value so much more in my future videos. Is there anything, Matt, that you take away from Red Letter Media that like you want to apply to your own content, to like your own videos? Or
yeah, one thing that I think is really encouraging is that it's okay to have a really long video as long as it's really good and well done.
That's good. And that's good.
Because I saw something the other day where someone was well-meaning, but they had some video like, okay, what is the optimum length for your video? And they're like, under 2 minutes, because people have short attention span. It's like, I will gladly sit through like a, you know, 70 minutes of episode one review as long as it's good. And you can tell every, you know, that script has been so worked on and the video essay is so compelling. And I mean, I'm sure they poured months into that series, but
definitely
it shows. And it's kind of been like the catalyst for growth for their channel. And even in their other, you know, reviews, they're not short by any means, but people will sit through TV shows. People will sit through a movie. People will listen to a long podcast. It's all about how much value you're creating and, you know, if they're the right people. And so I, not being afraid of that, knowing that's an option, is I think really encouraging to have that option on the table and to go after that. And it encourages you to push for higher quality and a higher fit with your audience when you're trying to figure out what to create.
Exactly. Yeah. I think I read that the metrics for YouTube now, so supposedly used to 5 or 6 years ago, you know, length was maybe a deterrent. So maybe that person was basing like, oh, you know, the optimal length is off of 2 minutes or whatever, which is super short now. But I think the analytics on YouTube really look at kind of viewer engagement and how long people
retention.
Watch. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Where, and obviously Red Letter Media has the fans that are dedicated. So they'll watch the entire 70 minute video and YouTube loves that. Like, they want a long video combined with awesome production that's well made will attract an audience.
Yeah. And, so, and it makes sense from YouTube's perspective too, because they make money from you being, surprise, surprise, on YouTube for as long as possible. And so if your video does that, it's also, I mean, you're not going to, YouTube's not going to discourage you from doing that. It's a good thing. I think the other thing that really stands out is like, don't be afraid to be yourself and do videos with people that you enjoy being around. Because I think a lot of the stuff that works with their newer segments, half in the back, best of the worst, is that they just kind of play off each other. And you can tell they've known each other for a long time. They clearly love movies. This is not like a thing they picked for like, you know, traffic reasons or because they wanted to, you know, build an audience. They just really enjoy what they're doing and it really shows. And they're around people they enjoy doing with. And you get the impression that they would have just as much fun if 8 people were watching as, you know, 8 million. It doesn't really matter. And so I think keeping that in mind is a good perspective and a way to focus on how you're creating your videos.
Definitely. Yeah. Make what you want to make, because it's really easy to tell when someone's making something just because it's trending. Yeah. Like, if it's agonizing to make something, but you read, you know, online that, oh, you know, Solo's really popular in theaters. Yeah. Just make what you want to make. There is a niche audience that will watch your video. Granted, if the content's good, if it's well made and the production is good, which is a lot easier said than done, but I mean, that's all part of the growing process. And on that note, I think that might be it for this episode. Matt, are there any other kind of thoughts you have about Red Letter Media, about your week, about sparkling water, anything else? Are you still drinking that
No, Arkansas? I drank all the fancy Arkansas water, but little Mapes, I think, wants me to get off the podcast because she is freaking out. Yeah, she's sniffing the
Mapestine.
Mic. She is running all around, so I think she needs to go for a walk.
Go outside, yeah.
I don't know, play some fetch or something. So I'm going to take care of my puppy. But, you know, for all you people out there, all you dog lovers, come leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can check out the blog post. You can find the show notes for this episode at 6stars only/9, just the number 9. And you can check out all our resources there. You can follow up with us, and you can also, go find us on iTunes, leave us a review, so that I can provide a better life for my puppy. Oh, stop biting me, dog. 'Cause she's really sweet. She has sharp teeth and a warm heart. And so do it for the dog.
Do it for the dog, man. I think that's it. See you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening. Again, leave us a 5-star review and give us feedback. It's really important to us. What did you like that we did? What can we do better next time? So, yeah, I'm going to sign off. I think that's this week's episode. See you guys later.
Peace out.
See ya.